chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 1, we'll begin. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not how the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be a work, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that Israel, that in blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom of God, wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. All right, any questions? We can stop right there if we just pay attention to what we're reading. be able to read the Bible and get to the point where you can understand it. And the only way you get to where you can read the Bible and understand it is by continually reading the Bible. So oftentimes we skip over things. But there's a lot of important things I want you to see here when it comes to understanding this chapter. And we're going to be in this chapter in the main service as well. And we will read over it again. But I want to take some time. I want you to think about that. There's a few things I'd like to say to you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's ask His help. Father, help us, we pray, to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to understand the scriptures as we ought to. And Lord, we just pray that You would help us to understand in a way that would make a difference in our life. Not just to have a bunch of facts, but Lord, that would change our lives and our hearts to where we'd have gratitude towards You and desire to serve You more fully. And Lord, we just pray that You'd bless Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I see things that bring joy to my heart. I see the character of God. And when I see the character of God, I see and put that in my relationship with God. Notice what he says in chapter 11, verse 1. He says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? If you look at Romans 9, 10, and 11, and actually also, by extension, chapter 12 is an outshoot of that. But if you look at 9, 10, 11, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the nation of Israel. A lot of people take the idea of a spiritual Israel and say, well, the Jews are no more, and therefore the spiritual Israel is all the believers. And so we're the true Israel and the Jews are not. The Jews have all been forsaken and God doesn't have anything to do with the Jews. That is a lie. The Jews that Paul is talking about are his kinsmen according to the flesh. He says it in numerous places. And so he's talking about Israel. And so when he's talking about Israel here, and when he's talking about the Gentiles here, he's talking about them as groups of people. Alright? And he's warning us as Gentiles to be careful, because, and you see what's happening in our culture now, we now have, just as Israel became apostate through their unbelief, and only a remnant was left, we're getting to the point where now we're only going to have a remnant of Gentiles saved. And we're making the same error that Israel did. If you don't believe it, you need to read the Old Testament very carefully. I tell you what, it's like reading the culture. If you look at the way we are. And so the picture here, he says in verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. He's not talking individually. He's not talking about an individual losing their salvation. He's talking about the Gentile nations that have received the gospel turning away from the gospel. Just like Israel, doing the same thing. And he says, if they abide not in unbelief, God can graft them back in. And right now, there's a remnant of Jews that are saved. Alright? There's a remnant. But, we need to be careful. Don't be high-minded. And nations after nations have been high-minded against God. And look at the nations of Europe. It is hard to find Bible-believing Christians in Europe. And we're becoming the exact same way in the United States of America. That is absolute truth. But you know the amazing thing in there that I want you to see is that we look at chapter 11, verse 1. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. God has not cast away the nation of Israel. Yes, are they apostate right now? Yes. But some Jews are being saved through the gospel, right? There's a remnant now according to the election of grace. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they get saved now. But the Bible makes it clear, and you go all the way through there, that Israel as a nation will be delivered. You cannot replace Israel with the church. You cannot replace Israel with the church. This is clearly a difference that is there. The nation of Israel as a people. It says in verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. In other words, God is going to keep his promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samuel, David, all the ones where he made promises to. He's going to keep his promise about that nation of Israel. He's going to keep all the promises that he made. And if you go through the Old Testament, as you study through the Old Testament, you find out that God has got a plan for the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, everything that we talk about with the great tribulation and everything that's in the book of Revelation is focused on the nation of Israel. It's just that simple. The battle of Armageddon. Where are they gathering? They're gathering against Israel. And then ultimately against the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why the Bible says boldly cometh clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. And they'll mourn for him. But there's all types of things that he says that are going to happen, and we look at that type of time period. But notice what he says. We see all that, and we see the depth of depravity and apostasy that Israel has fallen to. And yet we read in God's Word his faithfulness toward them who deserve no faithfulness. You know what that tells me? That tells me that my God is faithful to me too. That tells me that the things that if Israel can sink so low and he'll still keep his word, that he's going to keep his word. And if I serve him with all my heart, how much more will he keep his word? I look in that and I read that and I say, have God cast away his people? God forbid. And you know, you and I, we're looking at a time in our nation's history that seems to be getting scarier and scarier by the day. But God's still faithful. He's going to bring us through it. He's going to take care of us. If the entire nation turns against us, he's still going to keep his word. And that's what we have to hold on to. There's the picture that we have. And so, notice what he says. He said, what ye not, what the scripture saith in verse 2 of Elias, talking about Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Told Elijah, he said, there are 7,000 people in Israel who have not succumbed to the pressure put on by Ahab and Jezebel, and they have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone, Elijah. Nor are you and I. You know, a lot of times, especially through years of talking to people, whether they be old people, whether they be young people, and a lot of times on young people, because young people have a great desire to know people and everything like that. And so many times I've talked to people and they say, well, I don't have any friends. It's like, well, the people you're hanging with are not your friends. And the bottom line is, and here's the whole thing about it, is if you have to change your behavior in order to be a so-called friends, in order to have these friends, you don't have friends, they have you. If you have to be wicked in order to have friends, your friends don't. They have you. It's not the other way around. And I always taught my children that you know, it's more important to be a friend than have a friend. But the simple fact is, the idea that there are no Christian friends is a lie that the devil tells us. There's no other believers. You're it. That's what the devil wants you to think. That's what he wanted Elijah to think. Elijah goes to God and says, Lord, they've digged down your altars and they've killed your prophets and I'm the only one left, Lord. What am I supposed to do? God says, you're not the only one left. There's 7,000 you don't even know about. And we're not the only ones left. Maybe we need to look in the right places. Simple fact is that God is faithful. God takes care of it. There's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a remnant. Because God's Word will not depart from this place. You know, if you go into the book of Revelations, I can't remember the passage. But think about Revelations. You know, we believe in a premillennial return of Christ and a pre-tribulational rapture of the saints, right? I know there are some people that profess faith in Christ that might take an issue with that view, and I'd gladly sit down and discuss it with them and explain why I believe that. You know, the problem is the devil, instead of people sitting down over the Bible and sitting there and say, well, this is why I believe that. Why do you believe that? And go through it, and everybody gets mad. We don't believe the way I do, so we're going to get mad and get all upset. Why are you getting mad and get upset? We got the Word of God. Let's just study it out. Use a little common sense. Use a little logic. Use a little... just let the Word of God speak for itself, and you know, stop trying to shoehorn it into something that you can fit your theology. But whatever the case may be, you know, the simple fact is, I'm trying to remember where it's at. I don't remember where it is off the top of my head. But during that time, where according to the understanding of the Word of God that we have, the premillennial, view, the church is going to be taken out. The believers are going to be taken out of the earth. And so, the influence that believers have in this world, and the Spirit of God, influence of the Spirit of God through those believers, is going to be removed. So there is going to be nobody, at least initially, until God reveals himself to that 144,000, which, by the way, are not Jehovah's Witnesses, to that 144,000. When God reveals himself to that 144,000 Jews that are mentioned in the
other than them, there are going to be no gospel preaching people. Because everybody else is going to God's going to send a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Particularly those that heard the gospel before. Right? So there's going to be no gospel preaching. But then the Bible tells us that there's an angel that has the everlasting gospel. In the book of Revelation. So when there's no more people there, God will send an angel to put it out. Because God's faithful. I'm trying to remember where that is. Somebody look that up. Look for the word everlasting gospel. If you have a way to look it up, give me that you can do a search on it. Everybody's got their tablet with a Bible on it. Do a search. It says everlasting gospel. I can't remember off the top of my head where it's at. But he saw an angel with the everlasting gospel, and so that's an amazing thing that during that time there's going to be an angel that's going to get to preach the gospel. You know, that angel is going to be a special gospel. 14:6, okay? Revelation 14:6. Thank you. I appreciate that. But if you get into Revelation chapter 14, and it says, "I saw another angel," verse 6, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and every kindred and tongue and people." Isn't that an amazing thing? That during that time, where the world is under control of the devil, God will send an angel to preach the gospel. That's something. That's the mercy of God. That's the faithfulness of God. Even to those people that don't deserve to hear it, they're going to hear it. There's going to be an opportunity. And then you're going to have the 144,000 witnesses. From every tribe of Israel is going to be called. Isn't that an amazing thing? That is how faithful our God is. If that doesn't get you excited and happy, help us, Lord.